Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we will start the day with Massachusetts State Auditor Diana DeSaglio, who will be connecting with us momentarily here in Studio 2 to talk about the set of audits that she has announced she wanted to undertake, including making some significant waves by announcing that she wants to audit the Massachusetts state legislature. And to be clear, the last time the state legislature was audited was 1922. WBUR senior statehouse reporter Steve Brown is with us. He'll be listening into that conversation, give us some analysis afterward as we get the state auditor connected. Steve, what are you hearing a few days later now on at the statehouse about this move?
Surprisingly, not a whole lot. The speaker and the Senate president really haven't had any availabilities as of late in the past week that we could actually ask them and follow up. The speaker's office has not put out any statement at all in response to this. The Senate president's office did put out a statement early on when this news first broke last week. Basically, if you read between the lines, saying, hey, there's separation of powers here. You really don't have this authority. But given that, you know, we do our own audits. We follow the rules. If you know, this stuff is all available. If you go on the website, you can find out what legislative employees make. You can find out what legislators make. So all that is public information that's out there.
So the one more thing, Steve, and then I think we'll have the auditor ready. One of the things that the auditor noted in her letters, and you had shared those letters with us, to the legislature, to the House and the Senate, was basically when we begin asking for documentation, we will expect that documentation in 72 hours. Mm. Does that present like a legal trigger if the legislature does not comply with a 72-hour request? I think it's important for people to know that that time window will sort of start this kind of tick, 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 tick.
Sure. And we don't know until we speak with the auditor in a few minutes whether they've actually put those asks in. They put out an engagement letter saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. But have they started getting down to brass tacks yet and saying, okay, now we want this and now we want that? That's a question I'm sure is right on the top of your list with the auditor.
It is, and I think she's ready to join us. So, Steve Brown, sit tight, please. I'm going to turn my attention now to Massachusetts State Auditor Diana DeSaglio, who joins us on the line. Auditor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So, I, given our time constraints, I would love to just dive right in, Auditor DeSaglio, and I want to talk about the legislature. One of the first audits that you've said you plan to tackle is the legislature. I know you're aware that your predecessor, Suzanne Bump, thought that according to Chapter 11, Section 12 of the Massachusetts General Laws, the auditor didn't have the authority to do that. If I understand your argument correctly, you're saying, listen, there's nothing in there that specifically says I can't, so I can. Is that right?
That's exactly correct. The governing statute is Chapter 11, Section 12 for our office. Anybody is able to go and to check it out and to read it. And it does say that our office is required to audit at least once every 3 years, state entities, and departments. Now, the last time the legislative department was audited was back in 1922, financially speaking, at least. That's the last record we could find regarding that financial audit. And the statute doesn't say anything about the legislature being exempted. Now, where the legislature has exempted itself in other areas, that has been explicitly stated in the law, such as in the public records law, the Post Audit and Oversight Committee, and the State Senate, I know, has some provisions saying that it can't audit the legislature. That is not the case under this statute. And this
jump in there because I do want to talk about one other piece here, which is constitutional language, which breaks out executive, judicial, and legislative, and says, and this goes back to John Adams, says, you got to stay out of each other's business. And so does that mean that from your interpretation, the state auditor's office is not a part of any of the three branches? So you could freely audit a member of any of those branches. Previously, the state auditor's office has sort of stuck to the executive branch.
So actually, the previous state auditor did audit the judiciary. and did audit the courts. We do audit the courts in the state auditor's office, as well as the executive branch. So this argument regarding separation of powers really doesn't hold water when you consider the fact that we do audit the courts. Now, as far as, you know, getting involved in the business of other agencies, this office is not seeking to cross beyond its legal authority and understands fully well that we are not able to mandate action by any entity, by the executive branch, by the judiciary, by the legislature, and that it is our mandate to simply audit and to view what is happening.
And put that information
in these entities.
For the listener, what that means is you can audit, you can put the information out, but then other offices and things would have to mandate any actions or would have to self-choose actions based on the information you put out. Is that right?
Correct. But at least the public has the information to be able to understand what's happening so as to make informed decisions and advocate for actions that they deem to be appropriate.
So Auditor DiZoglio, let me ask the question this way. Are you looking to find some things in particular in auditing the legislature? Are you looking for something? Or are you just looking to pull documents and see what you find?
So we're looking for transparency, accountability, and equity. These are performance audits that we conduct in the Office of the State Auditor of every entity that receives state funding as required by law. And in this particular case, we are looking at budgetary hiring, spending, and procurement information, as well as information regarding active and pending legislation, and looking at some of the processes and procedures, just like we do for every other state entity. So this type of audit doesn't deviate from anything that we normally do. It's just the fact that this audit hasn't been done, this type of audit hasn't been done, in the legislature, at least, you know, since 1922, from what we can see. And we're still looking at those documents to see where, you know, some things may have been looked at, checking out the state library and making sure that we are operating with all the information possible.
So in the world of politics and policy, although you're saying, you know, this is nothing different than what we do, this has caused quite a stir. And in fact, two articles in the Boston Globe, for example, just this week, saying both basically more power to you and watch out because there could be legal challenges here. So last couple of questions on this. If legal challenges happen, if the state legislature pushes back, does it require taxpayer money then for you to fight those battles in court in order to be able to do what you want to do?
Yeah, you know, we're hoping right now, Tiziana, that we actually get to move forward with this process without that being the case. We know we're on solid legal ground. I think that folks in the legislature understand the solid ground we're on as well, regarding our authority to conduct an audit as we do in other state entities under the section that we are governed by. And I'm hoping that that won't need to be, something that becomes part of the conversation further than it already has. Certainly the courts do exist to settle, differences of opinion on these matters, but the section is very clear. The legislature is not exempted. And I'm hopeful that legislative leaders will work together with our office to help to shine the light on areas for improvement. Audits are in place to help and not to hurt. They're there to shine a light on what's happening so as to be able to improve upon processes and improve performances for the residents we serve. And I certainly hope that legislators agree that an audit can be helpful, that it can shine a light on some of the darker areas of state government.
So let me jump in there. Have you made specific requests and is the legislature cooperating with you?
Right now, we have just begun by sending our engagement letter, which is public information. Anybody can view that. And we are following up this week on setting up meetings. Hopefully, as I said, the legislature will respond to those requests for meetings. And work together with us, again, to help residents to be able to get access to what's going on up on Beacon Hill so that all families in Massachusetts have access to and accountability from all state agencies, regardless of family background, bank balance, or zip code.
One of the things you've talked about for several years, after having signed a non-disclosure agreement or an NDA as one of many staffers in the State House who have done that over time is the use of NDAs, especially taxpayer-funded NDAs. I have a really specific question I want to ask about this. Sure. Earlier this month, Governor Healey's office told WBUR that it won't release copies of sexual harassment complaints filed with the office in the past 5 years. According to our reporting, Healey's office says it does plan to voluntarily abide by public records law in general, but that they wouldn't apply that to records that came before Healey took office. Given your pushes for transparency, given the use of NDAs at times in the past around sexual harassment, et cetera, what would your message to the governor's office be about this choice not to provide files that happened prior to her taking office? Are you happy with that choice?
I know how committed Governor Healey and Lieutenant Governor Driscoll are to improving processes, especially those surrounding sexual harassment policies in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I have done work alongside of both of them through the years on these matters, and I know that they are committed to making improvements in the process. That is why I am confident that their administration will fully comply with our upcoming planned audit of taxpayer dollars to fund non-disclosure agreements that are able to be used to cover up all sorts of harassment, discrimination, and abuse beyond just sexual harassment. And I've committed to doing this audit for quite some time. This was something that I talked about many times on the campaign trail, and I don't think it's anything unexpected that I will be examining these types of settlements during our upcoming audit period, and remain confident that the administration will fully comply with that audit.
So, Auditor DiZaglio, last question for you. I know you're on a tight time frame. You are auditing the legislature. You have announced an audit of the MBTA. You have announced an audit of the Massachusetts Convention Center Authority. There could be up to 200 executive branch offices that you audit in due course. You've talked about the possibility of auditing the Department of Children and Families in the past. Do you need more staff? Will you have to staff up bigger budget to do all of this, or can it be done with the team you've inherited as the new auditor?
So we have recently actually just received an audit of the Office of the National State Auditors Association that says that our office is in full compliance with government auditing standards and that they are operating efficiently and effectively. However, through the years, it has been a challenge for the office. And like I said, I just took office several weeks ago. But the office actually hasn't met its mandated audit requirement for several years. So the Healey-Driscoll administration and I agree that some additional staff alongside of some additional time, still mandating that these audits get done with each administration so as to be able to evaluate that administration's actions, make sure every agency is receiving an audit within each administration's tenure and time. But that those two things put together would assist in helping us to meet our mandate to complete a certain amount of audits in a certain amount of time.
Right.
That hasn't happened with the previous administration. We're looking to hopefully see that occur moving forward, and we're going to be working hard and making sure that it does occur.
Okay, before we let you go, fun question. You were tweeting about Pi Day yesterday. I'm blueberry double crust. How about you?
I like the fruit pie, the all fruit pie from Man's Orchard in the city of Methuen where I grew up. So just give a little time for that pie. It's a pretty good one. That's my stop.
Awesome.
State Senator. Strawberry rhubarb too. Strawberry rhubarb.
I do love that one. State Auditor Diana DiZaglio, I hope we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
So still here in Studio 2, Senior State House Reporter Steve Brown. Steve, thanks for listening in there. Your reactions?
Well, first of all, pumpkin pie for me.
Oh, there you go.
Auditor DiZaglio is still using the carrot right now. She's hoping that they're going to cooperate and see the value of what she wants to do, and that they are going to just open up the books and say, hey, come on in and let me show you around and see how this place operates. It may need more than that. She may have to get the stick out, and that stick would be going to court.
To be clear, Steve, our state legislature has a national reputation for being opaque.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't sound convinced that a carrot will be sufficient.
At this point now, you know, again, she has not put out that specific ask. She has sent the letter saying, we want to do this. We want your assistance and your help. But her staff hasn't gone knocking on the door yet and saying, we want this and we want that. And you know, the legislature does say a lot of these records are available. As I mentioned to you before the show, I was looking through payroll records of legislative employees. It's all out there. But what the auditor wants to do is gather that and put it all in one place. And sometimes when you take information that's scattered all over the table and you put it in a place, a way that you can understand it, people get a better understanding of how something works.
Because you get the snapshot instead of all the little
exactly
bits and pieces.
Using all that data, which is out there, putting it all together, you get a better sense of how this is all put together and how it works. So, and that's what she wants to do.
So last question for you, Steve. In hearing you just now, what is occurring to me is that it could also be possible that there is enough publicly available information that the state auditor could conduct an audit of the legislature without ever having to go to court because of failure of cooperation by the legislature.
Yeah, as far as financials are concerned, if you're looking at just dollars and cents, yeah, that information is out there. If she's looking into the operations, how are committees chosen, how do bills get through, and she is, that stuff is again, as you say, a little more opaque.
So therein would lie the rub.
That's right.
All right. WBUR Senior Statehouse Reporter Steve Brown, I really always enjoy having you. Thanks for coming into studio
today. Nice to be here.